How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Joe Ingles gives to Favors, kicks out to Diaw, rotates to Rodney, wide open angle right three, pow!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of April. A film study on Game 2. Does it give us optimism for Game 3? We'll break that all down, plus a bonus on the backside with an interview from 1280 The Zone. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Thanks so much for tuning in. There is a home playoff game in Salt Lake City, Utah tonight for the first time in 5 years. How about that? Fired up. It's going to be epic. 8 o'clock tip, probably a few minutes after that. Can't wait. There are some tickets still available. Sunday tickets are more readily available, as you'd anticipate, and I cannot wait to hear you rock it in the building tonight. It is going to be just terrific. So fired up to have a home playoff game and let this place go. Quinn Snyder said it yesterday. It's going to be loud. Doc Rivers said it the other day. Chris Paul gave the Jazz fans the ultimate compliment, talking about how he doesn't expect to see any Clippers jersey. It's a fan base that's completely dedicated. It's all about Utah. This is going to be just great. 8 o'clock start, actually, I think. You know, I have a feeling it's going to rev up around 7:45 and get rolling a little bit. It's going to be just terrific. So completely fired up for tonight's ball game. Glad to have us now. I'm going to be honest, watching the film, you're not going to get that same excitement I have right now is not going to necessarily give you the greatest optimism having watched film. I'm going to try to explain to you what I'm seeing. I might write up a film study later today. It's a large, very big, very mammoth, very significant task to try to win this series without Rudy Gobert, from what I watched on film study. So we'll break that down. Today's show is brought to you by two people. We welcome a new sponsor onto the program, Zip Recruiter. If you're looking to post your job in one place and you can't find enough quality candidates, then ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all in one single click. It's really cool. Also, by our friends at Murdoch Hyundai, the Blake Murdoch and the Hyundai family, the Murdoch family and the Hyundai family combined, bringing you today's Friday edition. Usually we do Pack Friday. We're not going to do that. Today, it's not that relevant in the playoffs. So let's get right to pins across America, and then we will dig into our show. I'm just going to take the most recent one. I got a pin yesterday from Andrew Wyatt. He put a pin in Nottingham, England. I was first introduced to playing basketball by a friend at my church when I was 15, got hooked. Thought I should pick an NBA team. As I knew literally nothing about the NBA, I decided to get a list of all 30 teams up and choose one with the coolest name. So I became a Utah Jazz fan. After a few years of getting more interested, I decided to buy a league pass and around the same time stumbled across your podcast. Both those helped me become a diehard fan, and now I've never missed a game. Thank you for all your input and work. It's helped me feel a real part of the fan base despite living on a different continent, and that I have a much better understanding of the game and the league, and it's been fun seeing this current team grow up. Here's hoping Gordon sticks around so we can make a championship push in a few years. I absolutely love Empty the Noggin, and read it at weareutahjazz.com. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Hey, I got a coolest tweet yesterday. I wonder if I can find it. You know, I've only sent 54,000 tweets out in my lifetime. It's a little excessive, I agree. But I got the coolest tweet yesterday from hope my bosses saw it. From Tyler Gray. Just bought Utah Jazz first time season tickets for next year. Locked On Jazz was a big part of making the jump. Thank you, Tyler. That is great to hear. All right, let's dig into this one. I went back and watched game two. And let me go big picture here for a second. The Clippers are really good. My takeaway, more than anything else, is that the Clippers are really, really good. And when I, and you know, they won 51 games. They were the second best team in the league in the first 20 games. They didn't lose late when they had to. And I think that's the first thing that just jumped out watching it. You know, when Chris Paul comes off a pick and roll going left to right, he's so great with that right hand. Now you've got one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA in Chris Paul coming at you. You've got DeAndre Jordan rolling to the basket down the left side of the lane. And in the left corner, you have J.J. Redick. Like, what are you going to do to that? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying quit here. But I think we got to realize, like, wow. They're really, really, really good. And that's what jumped out to me as I prepped for this and kind of broke it down and rewatched the film, is I didn't come up with a huge amount of answers that readily were available that I said to myself, like, oh, well, for the Jazz, do this, it takes care of this. You know, if they don't, you know, if they have Jordan rolling, they don't have J.J. Redick in the left corner, well, then they're not a 51-win team and they're not in the playoffs. You know, and they're much better than a 51-win team. You know, I think they might, you know, I think the two of us are probably every bit as good as the Spurs and the Rockets when we're right, and they're right. I mean, they're really, really good. So that's the first thing that jumped out to me. You know, we can try to be pushing Chris Paul. It looks to me like we're shading him to his left hand. He gets back to his right hand. He's just that good. You know, Blake Griffin bogarting his way into the paint is tough. Blake Griffin, to me, actually, you might try to force Blake Griffin to go get 40. But now that's what you're asking one of the. So now the game plan I'm coming up with is, you know what, I'm gonna go make a guy who's one of the 10 best players, 15 best players in the NBA try to beat me. Well, he probably can, but I think that might be it. So just big picture, without Rudy, watching us both offensively and defensively, it's a mammoth significant task, and I the thought has crossed my mind as I watch the film, that I don't know that we get a game six. I really don't. Just cheer as hard as you can with as much vigor as you can, because we need every bounce we can get right now, every push we can get. They're better than we are right now. They have a better team than we have out there on the floor. They got more, some of our strengths aren't there because of the injuries, and it's going to be hard. And now let me go through, now that I've given you that kind of depressing big picture take, and I'm not trying to be depressing, I'm going to tell you the truth, and that's what I see. And it was really, to be honest, it was a bit daunting to watch the film, because they're really, really good. And our guys, I'm not watching our guys not trying. I'm not seeing our guys not make effort. I'm not seeing our guys miss execution. I'm not seeing our guys miss rotations. We're not doing things wrong. They're just really, really good. That's what jumped out to me from the game two film, is that our guys weren't at fault. There weren't things that I'm looking and saying, wow, you really blew that, Derek. Boo, boy, come on, George. I didn't see that a lot. I thought George, as the game went on, I thought George got tired. Okay? I don't know that that goes away. I think that's and I thought Derek might have been a little tired. I thought that was, you know, that's the lingering impact of the amount of injuries we've had, probably to some extent. That might be reality, too. So let me start breaking this down. The first thing we have to get figured out is the Jordan role. Now, it disappeared in the third and fourth quarter, and this is where the Clippers are a bit of an enigma. I don't know why. I didn't see anything really on film that showed me that the Jazz in any way, shape, or form took away the role a little bit more, that Chris Paul went away from the role to get Blake going or to get himself going. And that's maybe the one thing about the Clippers that just fundamentally is playoff flawed, is that every single play they have and everything they do is specifically for one guy with one skill set at that moment for one thing. So it's either the pick and roll with Jordan, which is either for a Jordan roll or for a CP3, or it's Blake Griffin in the left block, or it's JJ Redick on the curls. and to that extent, that might be where they're not a great playoff team. Their starting five, and I'll admit I watched most intently their starting five. Their starting five was plus 15 this year per 100 possessions, in, I believe, the second best lineup in the NBA other than the Warriors. Okay. So it's not surprising that they're almost unguardable. Now, on the Jordan roll, the first thing that we have to do to slow them down offensively is we have to score. Throughout the first quarter of the game, they came down and got such early activity, 18 on the shot clock, 19 on the shot clock, 20 on the shot clock, with us mismatched because we're trying to get back in transition and people are just picking guys up and they're not picking up their regular guys. So we're mismatched and switched into disadvantage before the possession even starts. So that's the first kind of thing that has to happen, is somehow our transition pickups have to be, they were good. See, this is where it's hard. Our transition pickups were good. We got back in transition. We found guys. But then they're so good that if Derek Favors is suddenly on Chris Paul or something of that sort, we're not bouncing out of it quite the way we want to. Or if Gordon's suddenly stuck on DeAndre, they're good enough, they get us. So they're coming with this incredible pace. There's got to be some way we slow that down. That's the first step, is if you're watching the game, how quickly are they into their offense? Because they're really, really pushing. The second thing is how we're going to defend the pick and roll. And there's three things to do on the pick and roll defensively. And it's going to take me a minute to get into it. So before I get too deep into it, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor of today's program, Murdoch Hyundai. Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street. The Murdoch family is longtime Utah family. They own a dealership in Linden, and they own one in Logan that are Hyundai dealerships. They're solid people. They take great pride in serving you to make sure that you get the experience you want. I've been driving the Murdoch Santa Fe, and it's been terrific. In fact, just to give you the deal, like, I get to drive it for a certain amount of miles, and now I have to give it back, and I'm bummed. I've been loving the Santa Fe. I'm sure I'll try something else, which is a nice luxury. Don't misunderstand, but boy, it's been just a terrific car, and it's got every bell, every whistle, drives nicely, super space, and inside able to fit, two golf clubs, skis, everything else we need to get in as we move around everywhere. It's been a super, super car for us. The safety features are through the roof. The moon roof goes all the way. The hands full with golf clubs, finishing the day, walking up to the car or groceries or whatever it might be, and you just walk up to the car and the trunk opens when it recognizes your key there, beeps three times, just opens. You don't have to do anything because your hands are full. It's really... It just shows you the level of detail that Hyundai goes to make sure that the customer is taken care of. Check it out. The Murdoch family does a really nice job. I think you'll be very pleased with them. And Hyundai may not be on your list of cars right now, but I would strongly suggest that you put it on. Take another day and just drive around and keep an eye on how many you see. You can suddenly see that everybody who has one is really pleased, and there's a lot of them on the market. So that's today's show, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. All right, the part two of this is how to defend the pick and roll. So Chris Paul gets with DeAndre Jordan in the pick and roll. You have three choices. You're really concerned about DeAndre getting to the rim. So the first thing you can do is you have your big show, and then your big plays even. So Derek Favors, you know how I'm show. He comes on the pick and roll. Your big drops. It's called the drop. And Derek Favors drops. His hands are wide. He's trying to make an impact. And he drops as low as DeAndre Jordan goes to stay equal with Jordan to try to deny that lob pass. And George Hill tries to get back in front of Chris Paul in that time period, or plays him from behind to get him off three-point line. Well, they run that pick and roll pretty low. They're getting that pick and roll set at the top of the key or lower, which makes it even more difficult because now when Derek Favors playing back, he's playing in the paint. Chris Paul can pull up for a jump shot pretty easily. It's a mid-range shot, but it's still Chris Paul's pretty darn good at it. The second thing is Favors is not big enough as an undersized center right now. Remember, he's just not – he hasn't played center as a primary position all year to impact DeAndre Jordan at the rim. And so they're able, even if he's dropping back, they're able to lob up over the top of Derek for a dunk. Chris Paul is a 50% shooter from 16 feet to the three-point line. So, it's tough. There's J.J. Redick, as I was talking about, is on that far side, so you can't drop somebody in. The only thought I have, and this gets a little insane, is that we just don't guard Mbamute. We literally just don't guard him. Now, I think he's good enough he probably takes advantage of it, but I might try it for a little while. And you just literally have Gordon hanging out in some way that he – now, can Gordon impact that role, or does Gordon come up to Chris Paul in some capacity? I'm not entirely sure. The second option you have is you switch it. But now you have Derek Favors trying to guard Chris Paul and George Hill trying to keep DeAndre Jordan off the rim. That's not a great option. Your third option, which is what we saw a little bit more of in the second half from the Jazz, is that Favors, instead of dropping with Jordan, comes up harder on equal to the screen with Chris Paul. So now Chris Paul comes on the pick and he runs right into Derek Favors. Favors has got to play hands high and try to prevent that lob pass to DeAndre. But the risk here is that DeAndre Jordan has now gotten behind Derek Favors. And so there's two problems. One is if the lob gets to him, we don't have anybody who can keep him off the glass. The second problem is rebounding. Off both the switch and the equal to the ball and the pick and roll defense, you don't have anybody who can rebound because Derek Favors has now gone out. Okay? I mean, there's just not good answers here. The fourth one, which I think gets interesting, we've been doing some of it, is a hard hedge. So Chris Paul comes off the pick. Derek Favors steps all the way out perpendicular to the pick and really sets kind of a foot and blocks Chris Paul and tries to change his angle. Again, the problem now is that DeAndre Jordan is now on the inside of the basket to Derek Favors and can roll to the basket. You're hoping that Derek Favors' aggressiveness on the ball can prevent the lob over the top and change the angle. But again, poor rebounding position and very difficult. So those four options are what the Jazz have. The drop is probably the statistically best but most difficult to maintain just because they're going to get looks. You're not going to really stop them. The others are kind of feast or famine, and they're all really, really hard. And this is where, when I was watching them, what jumped out to me is that they're getting baskets because they're good. I'm not watching it thinking to myself, wow, we're failing to get to these guys. They're good. CP3 is great. We make a run in the third quarter of that game the other night. Chris Paul rips two balls from George Hill, makes a three, hits a pull-up jumper. He feels time and score at an elite level and puts himself absolutely in control of the game. And he's the best player on the floor, and that is another reason it's really daunting. I mean, you're going to have to be really loud tonight. That's really what it comes down to. You're going to have to be the home court altitude crowd is going to have to give us an energy and edge that alters the game in some capacity. A few other notes. I said this earlier. The other thought I have is there any way you just decide Blake's got to go get 40? And I'm sure if you help off Blake Griffin too much to help with DeAndre Jordan's role, that Blake Griffin's going to roll to the basket and get opportunities. But I also would love to see if I could get Blake Griffin to take 12 mid-range jumpers. Now, truthfully, Blake's made them this year. He's great. But that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a team that's great. He shot 46% from 16 feet to three-point line. And he shot 31% on above the break three. So the math on those are pretty equal. You'd rather have him take the two, barely, but not by a lot. That's the only thought I have. When Blake gets it on the left block, he's going left shoulder, middle, every time. He's 4 of 20 going right shoulder this year. He's going to straighten up. He's going to shoot over the top, which is our first option you'd like him to do. He's not been doing it very much. And the second thing, he's going to put it on the floor. He's going to roll to the left side. We've got to come with a strong dig out on that. He's not passing once he puts the ball on the floor. And so if there's any way that you could get Blake to be dominating this game, meaning that the ball's not in Chris Paul's hands and it's not DeAndre Jordan rolling, be significant. I think that would be a nice stretch. To Blake's credit, he's really changed who he is as a player. In 13-14, he took 33% of his shots at the rim. 13-14, took 41%. Then it slipped to 33. Then it slipped to 29. This year, it's back up to 35. So he's gone back to the rim. He took 46% of his shots as long twos in 15-16. 38% the year prior in 14-15. This year, he's back up to 29%. So he is going back to the rim, attacking again. And that has changed who he is as a player. All right, let me flip it over to the offensive side. But first, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Everyone is overworked. Everyone has no time to hire new positions. I always tell people that are interns, just the best way to do this is just to make yourself the easy hire. But if you're a company and you're honest about it, that's not the best way to hire. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the job sites, and now you can. Because just hiring the one guy you know is not the best thing for your company. So go to ZipRecruiter.com, and you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks, Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once. Watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails, no calls to the office. Right, this is why you take the easiest guy or woman, person, is because that they're right there and you don't have to deal with all this stuff. This way, now with ZipRecruiter, you can quickly screen your candidates, rate them, hire them. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. So I'm telling you, I get it. It's a pain, and ZipRecruiter will make it easier. LOJazz is your code. All right, let's go to the offensive side. If I get time to post my Game 3 film study today, the one thing that jumped out at me is the one area where I thought we were not very good is our spacing was bad. Too many times they're clogging the floor. We've got guys in wrong places. We haven't spread the floor quite the way we're supposed to. There's got to be a more concerted effort to play four guys outside the paint. Boris is going to have to shoot the three when he gets it. He can't hesitate. He's got to take it because Blake's not guarding him. And DeAndre Jordan is just living in the paint. Derek Favors is not having any impact on the game at all as a role guy. I don't know what can be done in that regard. But something has to be done to make Derek some sort of an offensive threat. Right now, he's setting a pick. Jordan's not worrying about him at all. Jordan's just living in the middle of the paint. And Derek is not really rolling. Derek's not getting behind him. And I'm not convinced that if Derek did roll, that the Jazz have the personnel that can go get, or that Derek has the bounce right now with that injury to be able to go get over the top and impact him. The nice one would be, does Derek pop out and shoot? Well, outside of 5 feet in this series, Derek is 0 of 3. And if we really look at his season, from 8 to 16 feet, he's 45%. From 16 to 24 feet, he's 34%. So if he picks and pops, and I'm the Clippers, I'm fine with that, right? Like they've decided to give that up. Post All-Star break, Derek only was outside of 16 feet. Derek was 3 of 14. 10 of 22, 8 to 16 feet. So Jordan's probably good enough to impact that 8 to 16 footer. You back him up any further, post All-Star break, Derek's 3 of 14 on those. Outside 15 feet, he was 4 of 20. That doesn't one of those 15 footers. So outside 15 feet, he's 4 of 20 since All-Star break. Like that's so that's the Clippers being well prepared, and he simply has decided, they've decided that they're not going to guard. Part of the Gordon Hayward game is Gordon Hayward's coming off that tight curl where he usually gets action. He's running right into DeAndre Jordan, and there's just no spacing at all. So that's the first thing. I don't know how to do it, but Jordan is just in the post. Now, one of the ideas I would have is if they're switching 4 or 5, now this gets us really late in the clock, they're switching 4 or 5 action, can we run some power forward center action that gets DeAndre switched onto Joe Johnson or Boris Diaw, and then when those guys go and set a pick on the ball, knowing that DeAndre is going to drop back or running some sort of pick that gets you some good threes based on the fact that DeAndre's just staying back in the paint. The one problem with a guy playing that far off defensively and sitting in the paint is that if his man goes up to set a pick and he's not following him at all right now, DeAndre's just staying in the paint, then there's nobody to help if a good pick is set. The Jazz ran some of Hayward's what I call opposite action, direct opposite direction action, where he comes from the baseline toward the other basket and curls, and they got some looks off that. So I think you might see some of that going on in the ball games. I think George Hill could have a really big night watching film. Chris Paul is floating a tremendous amount. And I think he's the guy who, if he spaces right, if we're cognizant to find him, Chris Paul is floating off his guy to try to get steals. And if the Jazz are astute, they can probably find that. And then the only other thing I saw that the Jazz did to wrap this up is they backed up the pick and roll. They backed up the pick and roll in a way that was really, really successful. So there, that's my film breakdown. That is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Enjoy Game 3. Cheer loud.